Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, Andrew, it's time for our Patrons Only Game Day podcast. As always, we are sponsored by JLB, Hot Sauces and Knives. Guys, it's not too late to get a great Christmas gift. They have the best hot sauces. They have Bucolica, Thai flavors. Ghost Pepper Reaper Madness in a 1 ounce shot if you want to melt your face. They have hot, they have the best knives for hunting, cooking, fishing. Use the code SANKT and get 10% off today. Go to jldsharpsauces.com. Once again, that's jldsharpsauces.com. Andrew, we're giving this one away free, but people should really subscribe and be a patron. Because it's awesome. We have 50 episodes that they can listen to. And from the off season, man, the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl. You're going to win it if you want to listen to us enjoying it 3-4 times a week all off season. So pay a dollar, pay $3.28, get a magnet. It's awesome. Do it now. All right, Andrew, the Eagles did the Saints a solid last night. We got to start there, man. I mean, if you want to talk about the game first, we can do that. But they put the Saints now, they don't get home field, it's a massive disappointment. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, yeah, definitely. Now, let's not forget, in 2009, the Saints finished with three straight losses. And, you know, in general, when you look at the climate of the league and Pittsburgh losing last week to the Raiders and San Francisco beating playoff teams and, you know, the Giants winning a game. You know, and, you know, last night the Eagles, who basically were left for dead, their backup quarterback comes in and they go into Los Angeles and win. So, you know, all this to say, nothing's given here. And the Saints are playing on the road on Monday night against the Panthers, who hate them. Panthers still alive for the playoffs. And I know we have, I think fans in general have this habit of looking at the standings and starting to look at the schedule and assume things. And I just think that's a trap. And that's, you know, I'm not picking the Saints to lose. I'm not saying that they're going to lose three games in a row. In fact, I expect them to win out. But my point in saying all this is that quarterback play is down across the league now because offensive lines are more banged up and there's more tape out there and the weather's getting colder. There are factors why you know, these offenses that were rolling and dominating, well, they're just not doing it anymore. We're seeing it with not just Breeze, but Goff and Wentz and all of these superstar quarterbacks, Mahomes. You know, the level of play is down. Teams are starting to figure each other out. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a challenge. But, I mean, now the Saints need to win 2 out of 3, and 2 out of 3 are at home. So, you know, conceivably they could lose tonight. They're still in the driver's seat. Now, if they win tonight, then I think home field advantage starts to look a lot better.
Well, look, I mean, it's still a hard schedule. And Carolina, they're going to give it all tonight because Carolina can say to themselves, look, if we win tonight, we're 7-7, we're still in it. You know, granted, they need a lot of things to happen. But if you lose, you're out, right? They're official. I think they'd be officially done, perhaps. So they are going to give their best effort. It's Monday night. They'll have a rocking crowd, I'm sure, at least to start. But look, the Saints, the schedule's hard these last 3 weeks, but they're a game ahead and have the tiebreaker. They have got to close this deal for home field. If they do not close the deal for home field, it's going to be a minor. It's going to be amazing.
Well, yeah, tell them the analogy that you gave me, which I thought was spot on.
I think it's like a golfer, right? And you are at a 400-yard par 4, and you just whipped out the big dog driver, and you hit it 320, and you've got 80 yards to the flag, and
you're on the fairway.
You're on the fairway, and you got a pitching wedge, and you just got to put that thing to 5 feet and tap it in and get your birdie. And, like, if you don't...
Just tap it in. Just get a little tappy.
Tap, 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 tap. If you don't... But, I mean, if you don't do it, it means you fucked up somewhere. It means you hit it, like...
Right.
You,
so, in other words,
you flew,
like,
the green.
Right.
Like, it's
going to be... The only way to basically not have home field at this point would be to... overhit the green and get a water hazard, land in a water hazard or whatever. But it's possible. That's my point is, it's not easy. You still have to execute.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're the Rams and the Rams, but much as their struggle, they get Arizona and San Francisco where it's like a layup line.
I think we have to assume. I know San Francisco has looked okay, and I think we need to assume, like, this is it. They're not going to get any more favors. The Rams are going to lose again.
You got plenty of – the thing is, though, they got plenty enough favors. Like, they just got to fucking finish this. The one thing around the league I will say is, it's setting up for the Saints as far as the playoffs is the 4, 5, 6 teams are going to be Dallas, Seattle, and probably Minnesota. So no matter who the Saints play that first game – if they get the number one seed, it's going to be a revenge game. It's either going to be Seattle, and if Seattle beat the Saints twice in 2013, it's Beastquake in 2010. It would be fun to get Seattle in the dome. You got Dallas. They gave the Saints a whooping on Thursday this year. And you have Minnesota last year, the disaster in that playoff game. So there's like a 99% chance, I would say, that the Saints, whoever they play that first game, it's going to be a revenge game, and fans are going to be spoiling for it, and the Saints themselves are going to be locked in.
Well, my dream scenario, which I told you, Ralph, like for a path. Now, listen, the Saints make the Super Bowl. I'm happy no matter what. So beggars aren't choosers. But when I look at 0-2 versus Seattle, and the Saints have had to go into Seattle twice in the playoffs, and there was the Beastquake game, and then, of course, there was the year – Seattle won the Super Bowl, and just how much I remember from those games and how much I hate Seattle because of it. And now they would have to come to the dome, and we know that's a completely different story. So that is really exciting and appealing to me.
And their passing game is terrible.
And then you look at the Bears as a possibility for the NFC Championship. Saints also 0-2 against them in the playoffs. Had to go to Chicago both times, the first time, 16-6 game with Steve Walsh. The second time, 2006, where Brian Urlacher and company and Rex Grossman annihilate the Saints. And they
had the Katrina jokes, the Bears fans did.
That's right.
We didn't forget about that. And I want to say that 1990 playoff game is quietly very traumatic for me personally, because that was probably one of the games – the Saints played in that
game. They should have won that game.
They blocked a field goal to start that game in a game where both offenses were fucking terrible. The Saints blocked it and ran it back, but were offside, and it got called back. And if they'd have blocked that field goal, they'd have won that fucking game. And we'd be different about Jim Mora. So that's a scar from my childhood. I want to exercise that.
So I think if I'm just talking purely historical, like, it would be great to force – Seattle and the Bears, for once, to come to New Orleans for a playoff game and take it to both of them on the way to the Super Bowl.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
that would just be the icing on the cake, personally.
Yeah, so look, the NFC is setting up fantastic for the Saints. They got to handle business tonight. And look, we talked about the Carolina game on Friday, and we talked about it a little on the Monday show. But I just look at this game, Andrew, and the weather's going to be okay. You were telling me the weather's going to be okay tonight. I just look at it from this point of view. As far as the Panthers, man, I know they've lost five in a row, and I know the games, most of the games, four of the games they've lost have been one score game. Hell, they went for two to win one of them. And last week they had the ball inside the 10. If they had scored a touchdown, they'd have won. They'd have beat Cleveland. So it ain't like yeah. It isn't like they're Atlanta, who's like totally went into a death spiral and fell apart and was sad. Carolina's just losing a bunch of close games. Now, that you can argue they've played a bunch of close games the 2 years previous, and their luck's just evening out. Like, when you play a shit ton of close games, if you play 25 close games in 3 years, you're probably going to end up 13-12 over the contrary, yeah. You know? So you could say that. But to me, this game, the key is the first quarter for the Saints. If they can jump out on Carolina, that crowd is going to be surly. They're going to turn on them. And if Cam Newton can throw a pick and Saints can get out on them, that crowd is going to want to turn on them because they lost five in a row. The fans are going to that game. They're hopeful, but they'll turn angry and bitter really fast. So that's the key to me. Like, Saints have got
to
get out.
I think it's hard to win close games when your quarterback is compromised. And I think that's, you know, Carolina is always going to be in close games. That's who they are. You know, they run the ball a lot. That's just what they do. They play in close games. And, you know, I think, over the years, because Cam Newton has been a pretty good running quarterback and a good 2-minute drill guy, they've been able to win a lot of those games. Well, I think right now his shoulder's a little compromised. The offense, he's not practicing as much. He's been missing time in practice, so that hurts with continuity and just timing. And so I just think, in general, Carolina's a passing offense is really taking a hit, and Greg Olsen's out also, so... you know, that
Hall of Fame, maybe the greatest Saints killer of all time.
Yeah, one of them.
Certainly, he's a case for him.
He's in the starting lineup, no doubt. But so I think offensively, you know, they just don't. They haven't been closing these games. You know, their secondary is also very suspect, and they've lost a lot of games that way too. So that's the reality for Carolina and why they've lost. You know, for me, I look at this game and I just look at Christian McCaffrey. He's a superstar in this league, and if there's one thing this year that has been a shining moment for that team, it's his kind of coming of age. And in year two, I feel like he's really turned it on and become a really good player. And so for the Saints, it's pretty simple. They need to stop him. And if you can control Christian McCaffrey, I think it becomes very difficult for Carolina, especially the way Cam is playing right now, for them to really hurt you.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, with Carolina, you know, it's they've struggled and they lost five in a row. But, you know, a month ago, I would say one of my biggest surprises of the NFL year was they hired Norv Turner. And we made a lot of jokes when they hired old Norv to run their offense. And he's helped them. Like, Cam Newton, before his shoulder went to pot, he was having the best completion percentage he's ever had. Norv Turner had created a lot of easy throws for him with McCaffrey and DJ Moore, and they were rolling until Pittsburgh stomped them in the face and they've sort of lost a bunch of close games. You know, until Cam Newton's shoulder went to pot, he was having a great year, and you got to give a lot of credit to Norv Turner and that offense. I mean, it's surprising. I mean, McCaffrey, when I saw him last year, he just didn't look fast and that great. And I was like, they picked him eighth. He's not, And I really liked him in college. I was kind of hoping the Saints would get him. And then I saw him. I was like, he's not that good. I'm glad the Saints didn't. But now I look at him, I'm like, dude, he's
well, they're starting to use him correctly.
Yeah.
He's something. We'll see, man. I think this game's important in Carolina. And, you know, I think it's easy for us to write them off and say, hey, they've lost five games in a row. But I just think it's one of those things where every year I feel like Carolina, we write them off for dead, and they get this little run in them at the end of the year. It feels like they always do this. And so I think the Saints have to be prepared. Now, here's the thing, Ralph. I think if the Saints are firing on all cylinders and they're playing their best, Carolina can't beat them. I mean, if Breeze comes locked in, Mark Ingram's getting it going on the ground, Kamara and Thomas are making plays, Traquan Smith's getting involved. Like, if it's one of those games where, and the Saints defense is playing well and Eli Apple's holding up, Carolina has no chance and the Saints will win easily. So if they fire on all cylinders and they come into this game playing like that, they'll be fine. Where it starts to get dicey, and, you know, we felt this way against Dallas. Traquan Smith drops a touchdown pass. You know, they're a little out of sync. Bushrod gets beat on a play. Reese fumbles because Bushrod got beat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That you get a little funny business, and Carolina starts to get the belief and the feeling that they can win, and the crowd starts to get into it. And then I think it's a dogfight. So that, to me, it goes one of two ways. Either the Saints fire on all cylinders and just kind of steamroll, or it's going to be a dogfight, and then it's a kind of a coin flip game where you're going to have to make plays at the end of the game to win. And either way, I think the Saints are still very capable of winning this game, but I just think I'm going into this expecting that it's going to be hard. And if you're a Saints fan and you're like in the fourth quarter ready to burn the team to the ground because it's a close game, like, that's probably how this is. A divisional opponent on the road, Monday Night Football, national audience. They lost to the Saints three times last year. This has been, I know this, you heard Cam Newton talk about this before the game.
It's been
circled on the calendar all year for him.
We got to talk about his quote, man. His quote was like, he dropped in that we know who the Saints really are, I think it was.
Yeah.
So, and he talked about the Chiefs. I think if Sean Payton, he'd never do it, but I would love him forever if he did. If the Saints were like housing Carolina in the third quarter and Sean Payton had one of those,
a juice box,
like an honest kid, like an apple juice box.
Like a mod juice box.
Yeah, like a mod. He's just drinking out the juice box in the middle of the third quarter when the Saints are up 35-10. I would love it because it would just be so dick. And the national media would talk about it for like, it would be all week. I think Pete Prisco would probably die from an aneurysm. Like, he wouldn't even finish the tweet. He would be like, classless, and he wouldn't even be able to get the exclamation points out. He'd have an aneurysm and die. And I don't wish anybody to die, but like, that would be funny to me. But here's the thing that besides that, like, the Saints, like, Cam Newton, Cam Jordan has sent him wine after. Fans were mailing brooms to the facility after last year. Like, Carolina is, like, salty as fuck over this. And look, they should be. We would be salty, too, if they had beaten the Saints three times last year and Cam Newton was fucking sending Drew Brees a bottle of wine and their fans were mailing us brooms. We'd be salty as fuck, too. So I don't have a problem with it. I'm just telling you how it is.
I mean, you look at Jerry Jones basically saying we're going to play the Saints like it's our Super Bowl. I think that's Carolina's mentality going into this game. I think for a lot of their fans, too, they remember it. They remember us dancing in the locker room and Ted Ginn having the broom, and there's photos out there. And I just think Carolina fans, man, like, they're probably saying, look, I don't care how this season goes. I know we're not winning the Super Bowl. Just beat the Saints tonight. That's all I care about. Just end this three-game winning streak they have. Don't get swept by them. Like, try to ruin their season. And again, like, I just think going into this game, the Saints are on the road, and if you're expecting the Saints to win 30-0, you're going to be disappointed.
No, I think I picked it. The Saints will stretch it out. I think it'll be close, but I just think that the Carolina secondary, the struggles they have are real.
Yeah.
And I think the Saints can block them. And look, even when Carolina's defense is good, like, and that year that Carolina went 15-1 and went to the Super Bowl, like, the Saints put up points against that defense. Sean Payton just kind of, like, there are certain.
Yeah, he always seems to have his game plan for Carolina seems to always have it dialed in,
Yeah. And
even,
like,
when they're great, you're right.
Yeah. So, like, maybe Carolina will throw it some. You know, Pittsburgh did it yesterday where New England had always had Pittsburgh's number. And Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin was finally like, fuck it, I'm doing something completely different. And it worked, and they shut them down. So Carolina may do that. The final thing I want to talk about, Andrew, is, you know, I don't think the national media and the talking heads yet have figured out that the Saints defense isn't just this. They're good enough, and the Saints are fine, and they can win. Like, Saints defense has been fucking rolling for 6 weeks, And I saw an article in The Ringer. They were Dan Kelly, who's a really good writer, by the way. Check him out. He wrote about the Saints defense. Like, the NFL should be terrified if the Saints defense said it's good now. I don't think the national media has caught on yet, and they still think the Saints defense isn't that good. Because even though the Saints defense was great against Dallas, when Dallas beat the Saints, that, like, blocked out the sun for any Saints news, right? It was going to be, you know, ESPN, because people either love or hate Dallas, they're going to cover Dallas winning 24-7, and it didn't matter that the Saints had 7 sacks and held them to 13 and was great. Like, Dallas won, so the Saints, like, all the news got blocked out. So I don't think the national media has quite figured out that the Saints defense, their front is fucking killing people. And unlike the Rams, the Saints can stop the run. I have a feeling that the Saints defense is going to ball tonight, and tomorrow America is going to be like, oh my God. Like, if the Saints are going to score 35 and sack a quarterback 5 times, like, that they're winning the Super Bowl. Like, and look, you can say is that if you like that hype, I do. If you don't, you don't want to come to the Saints to lay in the weeds or whatever. But I think there's a good possibility of that tonight. Like, the Saints defense, it's been fucking rolling for 6 weeks.
Yeah, it really has. It's and again, it really, the missing ingredient was this number two corner. You know, we just needed a number two corner to hold up, and the rest was going to take care of itself, because, you know, obviously Lattimore's going to do his thing. I think the Saints linebackers are very strong. They've played well all year. DeMario Davis, what an addition he's been. But then, you know, Rankins and Jordan, you know, the defensive line, but really those two guys especially have been just – outstanding. Pro Bowl level players across each levels of the defense.
Well, here's the thing. Rankins went from, you know, he was hurt his rookie year, but he had the back, he had the good second half, right? And he was like 4 sacks. And we were like, oh, yeah, next year he's going to come. He's going to be great. He's going to be great. And last year, you know, Okafor got hurt in the Redskins game. So the Saints were like, hey, Rankins, we need you to play.
Moving him around.
We need you to do this. We need you to do that. And you know, and Rankins being a good player, being a good team, I was like, okay, whatever. I'll do what you want. So they had him playing different spots. And he was, and people that watch film like you and Nick Underhill are like, look, he's been really good. He's been helping the Saints a lot. But this year, he's like playing his spot, and him becoming a Pro Bowl level defensive tackle where he might have double digit sacks. You put that next to Cam Jordan, and suddenly you have a monster at defensive line. And I just think, like, America, they ain't figured it out yet. And, like, you know.
I still think Davenport, to me, if he can ascend here as the season progresses, that's where that will be an oh shit moment where, like, I don't know what to do. Because if we're going to double Cam and we're going to get all this pressure up the middle from Rankins, you know, who – has this quickness and he's tough to deal with, and now we've got this elite skilled end on the other side. Like, what do we even
who's
do?
Who's a freak that they had covering Julio Jones? Just, I don't know why they did it, but they did it. And he wasn't a complete disaster doing it. Like,
right.
The thing about the Saints, man, is, you know, look, their only two mistakes that I would argue that they did in the offseason was they decided they wanted Kurt Coleman for Carolina, and they jumped the safety market early. They signed him before even free agency started. They signed him at like midnight at the combine, right?
Yeah. And they overpaid.
But you couldn't predict. It's like, hey, Mickey, don't do that, because the safety market is going to collapse and you're going to get the pick of anyone you want. Like, you, that'd be a hard sell, you know, even if me and you went from the future, right, and told Mickey Loomis that. That's a hard sell to make. So that was a mistake. And probably letting Willie Snead go, because Willie Snead's the most dependable receiver Baltimore has by a mile. I saw him yesterday. He's back to doing Willie Snead type stuff. And I can argue Willie Snead is the first receiver that the Saints have ever had leave the Saints under Sean Payton and actually be good somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
But besides that, man, their offseason has rolled. They got DeMario Davis, and they gave up the 2 picks for Davenport. And listen, they're going to pick at worst probably 28, 29 next year.
I mean, Cam Meredith was probably a mess.
Yeah. But I tie that into Willie Snead. Like, you could say, yeah, well, you should have kept Snead and just not gotten Meredith, right?
Right.
That's part of that. But, like, you look at all their moves, right? They're going to pick – they're probably picking, I would say, anywhere from 20 – they're probably picking at worst, like, 30. So let's say they win a playoff game. That means they'll pick 30. So you're pick – they gave up – They gave up the 27th and the 30th pick for Davenport. That's a huge win, because I don't think Green Bay, like, if the Saints wanted to do that now, a team wouldn't do that. Like, if the say the Saints had the 27th, and let's say they win the Super Bowl, right? So they had the, and they were going.
Yeah, the
to
Packers
draft.
Wouldn't take that trade if they knew how low the first pick was. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd say 27 and 32. No, we're not doing that for 14. So it worked out for the Saints, and it was a huge risk at the time because it was a lot. But when you go and you win 12, 13 games, Saints win on that. Oh, and Davenport's amazing. So their offseason has been quietly fantastic. Mickey Loomis probably won't win that award because he's won it a bunch of times, and they give it to teams that go from nowhere to somewhere, right? They'll probably give it to Pace or somebody. But their offseason's been amazing. What would you say? I have to say, I think Davis is the best guy they've signed, as crazy as it is.
Without question, yeah. And I think Davis is starting to become in the talks, I think, for best linebacker in the Sean Payton era. I mean, certainly Vilma is at the top of the list, and you know, I think Davis is going to need a couple more years to pass guys like Lofton and Fujita and you know, players like that. But, I mean, he's playing at such a level. I mean, I think Vilma's the only linebacker that's made a Pro Bowl under Payton.
Yeah.
Right? And I think Davis has a good shot at getting that this year. So we'll see. But, you know, his season's been incredible, and I think that's really what this team has needed on defense, is a linebacker that could run sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
Had the play recognition skills to go with it, you know, because Anthony, he could run sideline to sideline, but, you know, the problem was believing what he sees, you know, the diagnosing was the issue for him. So.
Yeah, and also, too, like, let's give credit to whoever in the Saints organization when they were like, look, we need a linebacker. We all know it. Whoever in the Saints organization was in the closet or whatever watching the tape and was like, Demario Davis, this is the guy to get. Because I remember when the Saints signed him, Bill Barnwell and Pete Frisco and other people were like, Demario Davis is 29. Why are you guaranteeing him $18 million? He was terrible in Cleveland, or he was good with the Jets. He went to Cleveland. He was terrible again. He went back to the Jets. He might be a guy that only fits in that Jets scheme. And I don't know what the Saints are doing here. This might be another one of these Saints linebacker free agents that they don't know what they're doing. That's what I would guess that it is. And they're all wrong. Like, the Saints looked at him and was like, he does exactly what we fucking need him to do. Sign him. And they paid a premium for him. And, yeah, he's 29. But, like, if the Saints win the Super Bowl, even if he declines rapidly and becomes Craig Robertson for the next whatever years, and we will forgive two shits. Like,
yeah. Yep.
Like, that was a great signing, and that's a signing, Andrew, that's not like a slam dunk. Well, you know, where you're coming getting a big name guy and you're pretty sure that it's going to work out. Like, even like Warford, he was a guard, right? But you were like, he's really good. He's a guard. He's going to be fine. The Saints know what they're doing. Like there was no, oh, Demario Davis, that's a great signing. He's going to be fantastic. That's obvious. You know, that was one where the Saints personnel department identified a dude that could do what they wanted and got him and wasn't a guy that a lot of teams were chasing or whatever. And they did it, and that's the kind of move that's the difference between going to the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl that it takes. You know, it's a little bit of luck, but it's still that's fine to me. That's not about luck. That's about the Saints personnel department knowing exactly what they need to do.
Yeah, you know, the last thing I'll say is this has been the season of kicking luck for the Saints. Greg Zuerlein missed the kick against the Saints this year. Tucker missed the extra point to win the Baltimore game.
The
Cleveland kicker was a disaster. And then last week, Kairos Santos. I'm just going to throw out there, Graham Gano is out and not playing
this
game. So Carolina has a backup kicker. Look for the kicking luck to continue.
That's been
the X factor all year.
Yeah. All right, Andrew, that does it. We, it's depending on how the game goes, and it's late or whatever, we may or may not have a post-game show for you. But thanks for donating, guys, at you, and people that don't. You got this free, but you sign up and donate today. All right, we'll talk to you later.